It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're glad that you have joined us.
Happy weekend, Dr. Linda.
Always good to have a weekend.
How long has it been since I've said happy weekend?
I don't know. You can say it every weekend.
That's right. Well, let me ask you this. We all love weddings, right? Or maybe you've heard getting married is on the decline, or maybe you've heard that people are waiting longer to get married. Dr. Linda, here's some wedding stats that will set the stage for our conversation today. 2.3 million couples wed every year in the United States. That brings down to nearly 6,200 weddings a day.
Wow, we need to be in the wedding business.
No doubt, yeah. You know, I used to DJ weddings. I should probably
you
get
did.
It. Yeah, a few every year.
Oh, you probably have stories then related to what we're talking about today.
Of the 6,200 a day, I maybe did one.
Okay.
The average age of a bride in the U.S. is 25.3 years.
Okay.
And the groom is 26.9. And the average number of guests invited to a wedding is 178.
Whoa, that's a lot of people.
That's a few people, yeah.
Here's the statistic that might be the most important in terms of our conversation. One third of those people who are getting married each year have been married before.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting. We need to think about, why are these people getting married for the second time? What's going on in their relationships?
You found a wedding app that listed some interesting comments from people who attended a number of weddings. Maybe there's a hint or two about what we should be thinking about when we're considering the happily ever after part of the marriage relationship.
I did. Here was the first one. You know how they do the first dance?
Oh, yeah.
It's usually this beautiful, wonderful song.
Right.
Well, somebody went to a wedding and the first dance song was "Every Rose Has Its Thorn."
Isn't that a John Bon Jovi song?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember if it is or not, but that's kind of scary.
What a terrible first dance.
That would be kind of a clue. You picked that. I don't know who the thorn is.
Ugh.
And then here's one where the groom didn't sit with the bride during dinner and was texting during her mom's speech. And here's another one. The couple was fighting, and she refused to kiss him on the lips at their wedding.
These are obvious.
These are red flags.
Right. Nothing subtle about this at all.
And here's another one. The bride and groom didn't leave together, and they went off to different places to hang out with different people after the wedding.
What is going on here?
That is sad. I'm thinking on that one that maybe the couple was living together, and so it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
That's one of the fallouts of all that cohabitation.
Wow.
And then here was another one I found. The table that the person sat at was placing bets on how long the marriage would last. Now, that is not a good sign.
That's probably some uncle from somewhere.
Yeah,
he has a gambling problem.
Still, if that's what you're thinking when you're watching the couple, you're seeing something or you know something about
that
couple.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Well, if you're thinking, hey, I didn't see that coming, then stay with us. Today, we're talking about relationship red flags, and not just the ones in marriage, but those that need to be questioned or carefully looked at in any of our relationships that might tell you to think twice to get some help.
Yeah, those are pretty obvious red flags. Not everything we're going to talk about is so obvious. What we want to help you with today is we want to help you look at those red flags, those glaring things that sometimes when you're in the middle of a relationship and you're trying to see the best in somebody, it's not always obvious to you that the thing that is happening, the behavior of that person or the things that they're saying, that that's a red flag. And so sometimes you need the help of other people to see them. But we want to help you prevent relationship problems by noticing those red flags earlier. So we're going to go through a number of these.
Let's go back into our past and tell us about a time where you remember a red flag in a relationship.
This is good because I did see a few of these when I was in the dating process. One of them if the person was disrespectful and making me feel really uncomfortable, I was done.
Yeah.
A lot of women put up with that when they're on dating relationships and they think, oh, he's just had a bad day or he'll get better. And that was not the same for me. If they had any signs of addiction, out of there.
Right.
I'm not going to be in that relationship. And then for me, family issues were big. If they didn't get along with their mother or the person hated their sister or something major like that, I was not going to pursue that relationship.
I dated a girl in high school and her mom was very domineering, just ran the house. And everyone kept saying, she's just like her mom.
Uh-oh.
And turns out they may have been correct.
Yeah.
The admonition came early. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, see, that was a red flag, and people see it, and you don't always see it.
No, right.
What about, our producer mentioned debt. If it's not debt due to college expense, I work in a medical school, and those students come out with massive debt because there's no way you can pay for medical school unless you're very rich as you're going through it. Uh-huh. But other than that, do you think debt is a red flag?
When we went through our pre-marriage counseling, the pastors brought that up because we did have some school debts. And they said, you might want to watch out. But we thought, nah, we can work through that and make that happen.
Well, and you can. Right. And some of these red flags that we're going to bring up are issues that you need to pay attention to. You can work through these issues. But if you're at the beginning of a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a coworker, a relative that you want to hang out more with, or an intimate person that you're trying to develop a relationship with, if you see these things at the beginning of the relationship, you do have time to say, I'm not so sure I want to pursue this relationship. Now, if you're in a relationship, I'm not telling you to get out of the marriage, so don't misunderstand here. I'm saying that these are relationship problems that will raise their ugly head and probably have, and you're going to have to work really hard on those problems. We're going to try to do a little bit more preventative care and try to help people who might be getting into a relationship to stop and to think as well.
What is a good way to start thinking about a relationship?
The best thing you can do when you're getting ready for any relationship is to start with yourself. It might sound like a cliche, but the more you can pay attention to how you are developing as a person, if you're aware of your own needs, if you understand your strengths and your weaknesses, and you're trying to work on being a better person, what usually happens is the better person you are, you tend to get attracted to somebody at that equal stage of development or that same place of trying to work on themselves. The healthier you are, you tend to attract healthy people. Does that make sense?
I think so, yes.
Work on yourself first and look at your own problems. Try to better yourself. Work on those anger issues. And then by the time you get ready for a relationship, if you have a little bit of a better sense of who you are, you know who you are, you're going to probably choose people who are also a little bit healthier. Here's one of the things that you can do, and this might help any of you that are listening to this. Write down every significant relationship that you've had and ask, what attracted me to that person? And did that last? Think about it. Sometimes people are attracted to the bad boy, but then they don't want to marry the bad boy because it isn't a relationship that they want to stay in. Was your thought about that person true, or was it colored by how attracted you were to the person? How long did your relationship last? And did you notice any pattern in the people you choose? And that's a good exercise for people to do.
Is part of that process looking at what is motivating you to be in that particular relationship?
Yes, because a lot of times we do need to look at our motivations. Sometimes we're in a relationship because we're lonely. You might be thinking, I don't know if I want to evaluate that relationship. I'm just glad that I have somebody to be with or go to dinner with or go out on a date with. But that person may not be the best match, and you may be in that relationship based on desperation. Sometimes you find somebody because you feel pressured to be in that relationship. Maybe someone set you up, or sometimes you just feel pressure to stay in it because your family likes the person. A lot of people say that. Sometimes you stay in a relationship because you don't want to hurt the person, and that's not a good reason to stay in a relationship. And then finally, a lot of times people stay in relationships because they find people they want to fix or they want to rescue. You got to look at your motives and start to think about, why am I with this person? Even if I'm beginning to recognize the red flags, am I staying for the wrong reasons?
That's good advice. Today, red flags in a relationship, what to look for, and how to make sure it doesn't affect the relationships you develop in the future. Are there red flags in your relationships? When we come back, 10 major red flags that should cause you to pause. More in a moment on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're discussing relationships in red flags. And before we get into that, I want to tell you about We Need to Talk. It's Dr. Linda's book, helps you deal with conflict in relationships.
This is a good book to help with this topic because you will see some red flags when you read that book in terms of what not to marry.
That's right. What not to marry.
That's right.
Now, there's a reality TV show where people meet at their wedding.
Oh, I know.
Have you seen this?
I watched one episode and I
right.
couldn't take it.
We hear these stories about people who met and were married a month later. How important is it to spend time with a person when you make a commitment?
I am so passionate about this idea that you need to spend time with people mm-hmm. and see them over a period of time, because normal life gets in there. They might have a stressful event. You get to see how the person responds
right.
under pressure. You get to see them over time with their family. You get to see them during holidays and how they deal with family and
right.
work pressure and all of that. I have to say, I do know some people who knew somehow and did not mm-hmm. have a very long engagement, and they're fine.
Right.
But generally speaking, I think the rule of thumb is that you really need to take some time. You need to see if you have enough in common. You need to have time to hear what your friends and family are saying about your relationship, because they offer insight that you don't always have. And they will ask you tough questions as you're going through the relationship with that person. Even friendships, I would say, mm-hmm. before you tell them personal things and before you trust someone, spend some time with them, get to know them, and see if they really are a trustworthy person.
You say to get past the infatuation stage, which is 18 to 36 months. How does the infatuation stage work? What happens there?
There's this chemical process that happens in the brain, and it makes you dumb. The kind of thing where you're going, oh, yeah, he has an anger problem, but you know what? He loves me, and it's just mm-hmm. going to be great. These chemicals, we call them the love cocktail, sort of saturates the brain, and it doesn't help your judgment during that time, which is why you need time, and you need to hear from other people, and you need to be asking questions and looking at the behaviors of that person. That is an influence, and that love cocktail mm-hmm. usually lasts about 18 to 36 months.
Got it. Now, here's a list. I want you to tell me if these are true or false when it comes to red flags.
Okay.
The person never invites you to their place.
Yes, big
probably
red flag.
Probably so, yeah.
What are they hiding?
Yeah.
That makes me think, are they married?
Ooh.
Ooh, do you think that? I'm so suspicious. I've been a therapist for 25
right.
years. I think of the worst.
Well, how about this one? You never meet their family.
Well, it could be
sure.
the same reason.
Right.
Or maybe they don't want you to, but that would be so important for me. I'd mm-hmm. have to meet their family.
Everyone else is always the problem. Right.
The blamer.
They won't acknowledge your relationship in public.
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
ouch.
They confess to cheating, but say it won't happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know we want to believe that, but you really need to know that they've worked hard in mm-hmm. making that change.
This one is so obvious. They're texting their ex while talking to you.
Yeah, move on.
Right? What about if you don't like their friends?
I think that's critical
mm-hmm.
because if they're picking bad friends or friends that are annoying and people that you don't want to be around, you're going
right.
to be stuck with that crowd.
And they keep score of insults or issues.
There's a person who's holding on to a fence.
What about this one? They like the drama of fighting.
If you like the drama of fighting, that might work well together if you both like drama. But you want to look at that and say, do I really want to be in a relationship with someone who's constantly going to be revving things up and making things difficult in your life?
And we know no one is perfect, obviously.
That's right.
But we're talking about things you can look for that signal a problem or even tell us if we should continue in a relationship. People always talk about poor communication as a relationship problem. But what about that, and what are we specifically looking for?
I like the fact that you said no one is perfect, because we are not trying to say that there's a perfect person out there
mm-hmm.
or that every friendship has to be with the perfect person, the person you have everything in common with. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is that these red flags that we're going to be talking about now should give you reason to pause and to at least think about it, maybe even get help on these issues. Yes, communication, very important. And when you're in a relationship with anyone, and this could be a friendship mm. or somebody that you're thinking maybe more seriously about, and they don't talk to you and they don't tell you what's going on with them, that is very frustrating. I can think of a lot of people I know like that, where I'm having to pull the information out of that person. And if they're having a hard time ever telling you what they're thinking, or they give you the silent treatment, I would think twice about that. It's not necessarily a deal breaker in a relationship, but you're going to have to work really hard in that relationship.
We are attracted to people who are unpredictable, maybe a little irresponsible or immature. Do you see that as a red flag?
Some people have trouble mastering basic life skills. They have problems with their finances. They have problems taking care of themselves, their personal space. They can't hold a job. They don't make plans. They don't know what to do. My son was just talking about this frustration with one of his friends who doesn't plan anything. And what happens to him is it feels real insensitive a lot of times to his time. While this isn't necessarily a reason to run from a relationship, you might want to give that person a little time to grow up a little bit and to get some maturity. And maybe they're trying to work on this. It's not a deal breaker, but it can cause a lot of frustration. And eventually, if it's not addressed, it can cause resentment.
Right. Because like Matt said, it's frustrating.
It is.
To live with someone like that or be around someone like that. This could be a big one, lack of trust.
I think when a person is either not honest with him or herself or not honest with you, that is really difficult to build a relationship. It's one of the foundations of healthy relationships. And so people that are malicious or calculated or they're not telling the truth, this is usually a learned habit, a way of coping with life, and it's going to be hard to turn that around. I think that that's not good. And if you're in a relationship with someone who's having massive trust problems, get help because you're going to need some help with that.
Right. What about people who have had major problems in past relationships, like befriending someone who has a history of problems? It's sort of like they attract each other.
What I'm thinking of is divorce. Sometimes people will ask me, should I be thinking about having a relationship with that person? When you're dealing with divorce, you really need to look at what happened. Why did the person divorce? I know someone whose wife left him, just left him, and said, I want nothing to do with you. The person was in ministry, and she said, I hate God. I don't want to be in your life, and left, and there was nothing he could really do. It's very important when you're dealing with a divorce situation to look at what happened with the divorce and to see if those things have been corrected. Because everybody in a relationship brings their problems to that relationship. You don't want to be naive. It's not one-sided typically. Now, sometimes it can be very one-sided, like the situation I just mentioned.
Right.
But you want to make sure that you're really looking at the past patterns and has that person corrected things and really worked on those issues.
A red flag for me is when someone is controlling.
Yeah, that is a big one. People who are jealous of your ongoing relationships with other people, or they simply need to control where you go, who you associate with. They want to limit your world to allow only what's important to them. Mm-hmm. That is big, big trouble. Sometimes they make you choose people. They say me or that person, and that is not an expression of true love and caring.
Earlier in the show, we talked about a lot of this can be resolved by fixing your own problems. How is insecurity a red flag?
That usually is at the root. That's one that we want to point out, is that when the person is very insecure, they don't know who they are, then they can carry that over to you. So that's a big one.
Dr. Linda, with about a minute left before we go to the break, what about someone who has a secretive past?
Those are scary because it could be illegal behaviors, addictive behaviors, things that you want to check on and know what's going on. Sometimes there isn't any resolution of past relationships. That's one that we need to look for as a red flag.
Sometimes we stay in a relationship because we feel needed, but it's not always healthy.
And we talked about that. Right. And then I think the last one we want to mention before we go to the break is abusive behavior. That is a massive red flag. And if there is abuse going on, you need to get away from that person. You need to get some help in managing what you need to do in that situation. And most of all, be safe.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about relationship red flags. And you can, of course, learn more about this topic in Dr. Linda's book, We Need to Talk. When we come back, we'll look at the spiritual red flags in your relationships.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about red flags in your relationship. And before the break, we introduced 10 red flags that we had to move quickly through, and you can learn more about those in Dr. Linda's book, We Need to Talk. So, Dr. Linda, help us with this. We all have flaws, and we need to know whether a red flag is a deal breaker or something that can be worked on.
I think that's a great point because we all fall short, according to Scripture. Romans 3:10 mm-hmm. says, there is no one righteous, not even one. All of us have issues, but what we need to look at is there a warning sign here? This isn't to say that I'm perfect or you're perfect as you're looking at your relationships, but it's simply to say we all have flaws, but there are some things that we need to look at as a major sign of a problem in a relationship. And maybe in those cases, you need to consider getting help with a Christian counselor or even going to your pastor and saying, I need some help with this in order to progress in this relationship. We want to see if this can work out.
Right. Seems like one of the biggest red flags is when someone doesn't share your faith. And then they still want to get married. And for some people, especially young people, they'll engage in what might be called a missionary relationship.
I'm very concerned about this whole area because Scripture is pretty clear about this, that we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. When I hear young people continuing in a relationship and they don't share the faith, the person is not saved and one is, they are becoming unequally yoked with that person if they continue that.
By way of a warning, and I speak from experience, because the older you get, the more people you come in contact with. And when you experience a different worldview, forging a meaningful relationship can be very difficult, much less a marriage.
That's because that spiritual bond is so important in terms of how you're going to move forward in the intimacy, not only with God, but the intimacy with each other. Here's the things I commonly hear in therapy. People will say things like, well, she'll come to faith once we're married.
That's rare.
Or he believes in a higher power, which is not exactly the same as being saved.
Right.
Or I'm sure I can get him saved. It's not about you getting him saved. It's about the person's willingness to surrender to the Lord and to believe on Jesus Christ. Here's another one. I know he doesn't know the Lord, but I'm sure he will. I don't know. That's a risk.
Risky business.
Yeah. God is leading me out of the marriage. I have heard that from Christian people.
Yeah.
And that does not fly with me because God does not have you do something that is against his own word. Mm. And it says clearly that he hates divorce and that he does not want people to give up on each other in a covenant relationship. I have a hard time with that. Now, there are extenuating circumstances. I understand that. And there are times when, like we've talked about with abuse and abandonment and some real issues, that there are problems. And even in those cases, you might want to think about a separation in order to give the person a chance to work on that relationship and deal with things that maybe need to be dealt with. Here's another one. I don't know if you've ever heard this. He was wounded by the church, so that's the only reason he doesn't go or doesn't have a relationship. But that's not an excuse.
That's a tough one. That usually takes God.
It does, to fix that. Go to God then.
Right.
You know, the church isn't your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, the church is filled with flawed people like we all are. We're all broken and flawed. And so I think it's really important if we look at that verse in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. I think it's important to walk in the same direction, like you said, have the same worldview, have that Christian worldview, and that you're going together in life. You're going to do so much better if you do that.
Is it a good idea to ask someone who's an intimate friend or even a possible mate what they use to guide their life?
I think that's a great first question. How do you make decisions? What is the guide in life? When you're not sure, you're going out on a date and you're trying to get the person to maybe talk about their faith, this is a way to go about it, is start to say, do you have any values or virtues or anything that guides your principles? And if they don't begin to talk about a relationship with God and then specifically Jesus Christ, you probably are getting somebody who is not going to share that bond with you, and that's really important.
How do you deal with someone who refuses to apologize?
That isn't a biblical concept. If you are a Christian and you're in the relationship with somebody and they are taking the position that I'm always right or I don't have to say I'm sorry, they're waiting for you, this is a big red flag when they won't apologize or they don't ever think they do anything wrong. The whole Christian gospel is about the fact that we sin and that we have to ask forgiveness not only from God, but from each other a lot of the times. And God says if you don't ask for forgiveness or you don't give forgiveness to someone, then he doesn't forgive you. It's pretty strong words in the Bible. So it's very, very important to make apology and saying you're sorry an important part of a relationship. If you don't see that, that's a big red flag.
Someone who won't apologize is hard enough to handle, but what about a person who lies?
Here's a great verse from Proverbs 12:19. It says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Like most sin, lying has a momentary purpose, but it does lead to destruction. Does your friend or your intimate other have a reputation that his words can't be trusted? Is truth compromised for convenience or gain or something? If that's the case, this is a problem in the relationship.
As we've unpacked this idea of red flags in a relationship on today's show, I'm hearing that what we really need to do is keep our eyes open for potential problems before we get into them.
We do, and we all need help with that. If you're in a relationship and there are massive problems, 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And it's a scripture about God helping us, that when we're weak and we feel like there is a problem there, if the person turns to the Lord and says, "This is an issue for me, I'm going to turn to God, I'm going to surrender my life, I'm going to surrender this, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit in me, if I'm a Christian and I'm saved, to help me, to empower me to make change." I mean, that's what the Christian life is all about. But you have to see fruit of that. Raise a concern in the relationship. You need to raise concerns when you see them. And then the people involved in that relationship need to be honest and humble, and we need to be kind and graceful in the way that we're talking to each other. If you're in a relationship and you're listening to this and you see a red flag and you're wondering, what do I do? Deal with it, and deal with it now. Pray for God's wisdom and direction in your relationship. If you're in prayer, God is going to talk to you. He's going to give you answers to that relationship. Ask the Lord for his leading, what to do. Wisdom comes from the Lord, and we are told over and over in Scripture to ask for wisdom. And when it's possible, you may need to get some counseling. You may need to get out of a relationship, like a toxic friendship, where it's more helpful for you to put some boundaries on and think about making some changes in your life. Overall, you need to learn to trust when you feel a hunch that maybe that's the Holy Spirit prompting you, and that you need to go for godly counsel and listen to the voice of God. I'm not asking you to think more highly of yourself than others, but use the prompting of the Holy Spirit to stop, look at the health of your relationships, and pay attention to those things that can become destructive in your relationships. Well, we hope that gives you a little help, and that those are a few red flags that you'll start to pay attention to and listen to. That's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation, and thanks, of course, to you, my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.